that we have, that just like a camera goes out of focus and gets blurry, that's kind of how we see the gospel and how we see Jesus. We get it. Those things get skewed. And so Paul's like, I want to help you get a clear view so you really get it. I want you to be able to live your life in a way that makes sense before God and so that you understand what it means to have a relationship with the God of the universe, to know his son who died for you, to like really know him and not just talk about him at church or do the churchy religious thing. Like, he wants you to legitimately know the Savior of the universe in a personal, intimate way. In a way where you can just talk to him whenever you want and he hears you. Where he wants to speak to you. He wants to tell you things. He wants you to see things that he wants to show you. He wants to literally direct your life. You know that Jesus had a plan for you? This plan, Jesus had a purpose. Like, when you woke up this morning, in Jesus' mind, he had this plan for your life today. Your whole day. From the moment you woke up till tonight when you go to bed, there was a plan for you. I wonder if you even know what the plan was today. As you get to the end of your day and you look back over the last however many hours you've been awake, what was it? What did Jesus want you to do? Who did Jesus want you to talk to today? Where were those conversations he set up miraculously for you to have to do something for his kingdom? Maybe to change someone's life forever. Maybe it was a moment where he wanted to change your life forever. End of today, right? Did you miss it? Can you get to the end of today right now as we're approaching evening time and say, man, I saw Jesus' plan for me today and I obeyed. I lived it out. I followed him. I saw it. I watched him interact in my life. I saw him do miracles. I saw Jesus show up at school in this conversation I had with a person. And I don't even know how I had the words. It had to be the Holy Spirit who gave me the words to say to this person. What was your day like today? Because Jesus had a plan. Were you listening? Were you so skewed? Was your perspective of what he wants to do with you so skewed and messed up by this world that you didn't even think he had a plan for you today? Because that's a lie. Jesus had an unbelievable plan, and he has one for tomorrow. And so tomorrow you could wake up and say, today, I'm going to listen. Today I'm going to hear. I'm going to ask him first thing in the morning when I wake up, Jesus, what's the plan today? Who do you want me to talk to? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Jesus, I want to hear from you now so that as I walk through my day, you can ask you work in my life. I want to see it, Jesus. You could ask him those things, you know. You could ask Jesus to show off in your life and show his power. And you know what? He probably will if you dare ask the question. Do you have the courage to go before him in the morning and say, whatever you want today, it's yours, and then see what he actually is going to do? See, so many of us are scared to ask the question because we're scared of what he'll really do if we ask. We're scared he will show up. We're scared he's going to do something that's going to blow our minds. We're scared of what could happen if Jesus really goes with his word and says, I'm going to show you my plan today. Are you ready? Will you wake up tomorrow and ask him that? Will you wake up each day for the rest of your life till he takes you to heaven and that morning say, Jesus, it's about you today. Clear my perspective. Give me a focus where I can clearly see the truth about who I am and who you are. You are everything, and I'm broken without you. But I'm also redeemed by you. And so now, Jesus, you have these big plans as you live in me to do some incredible things. So what are they, Lord? Tell me today. Paul wants us to have a clear view of that mission, and we've talked through how he wants to do that. And tonight, we're looking at you, this view of Christ's power inside of you, right? Because maybe when we talked about the mission last week and you heard about what Jesus wants to do and it was these like really big things and you might have been like me when I was your age and even I still do today when God says, I got this big thing, right? I go, oh, whoa, that sounds big, Jesus. Like How am I going to do that? It's a little bit scary. It seems overwhelming. How will I say yes and obey that? And here's his answer tonight. When he tells you the plan, a big mission he has for your life, you don't have to be overwhelmed. And you don't have to be scared. You don't have to hesitate. Because it's about Christ's power inside of you. It's Jesus doing the work in and through you. And he says, listen, you can trust me to do it. If all I'm asking you to do is just say yes. Just surrender. Just let me do the work through you and watch what I'm about to do. And so we're going to read Colossians 2, verses 6 through 15 tonight together. It says this, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and seated in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy or empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, but putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Let me tell you what, Paul gives us a whole bunch of truth tonight. And if you look at this and just read past it, you're missing some really powerful things that could change your life. Because the key to all of this focusing in on a clear perspective, the key to the gospel, the key to who you are and who he is and this big mission and his plan, it's pointless. All of it is pointless without this. The power of Christ in you. Because we can't do anything on our own. We can't accomplish God's purposes. We can't do that mission he's set for us. We can't. It's impossible. We're too weak and fragile and broken and sinful. But when Jesus' power is in us to live through us and you really believe it and trust on it and lean on that, oh my goodness, look out. He's going to do unbelievable things. You're like, I'm in seventh grade. Exactly. That's who he loves to use. So you better watch out more than everyone else. He likes to use the most unlikely, the one that's sitting there going, I don't know how you can use me. He's like, oh, perfect. You're the one. You doubt yourself? You're exactly who I want to use. You don't think you're skilled enough? You're exactly who I want for this. You're wondering how you'll ever accomplish it? Perfect. Come with me. I got something for you to do. That's what God does. So if you're sitting here tonight and you're that person and you're saying, how is he ever going to use me? I'm just like a little kid, or I'm just this, or I'm just that. He loves that. He loves to pick you. He likes to take shepherd boys like David, who's just some little shepherd boy out with some stinky sheep in the field, and be like, you're the one who's going to slay a giant tomorrow. You're going to save my entire people with my power. That's who he likes to use. So he's probably talking to you tonight if you're the one saying, he ain't talking to me. Oh, he probably is. You're probably exactly the one he wants to hear this message tonight. And so Paul says, let's just walk through this together. In verse 6, he says, therefore, as you who are like, hey, I'm Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Listen, there's a bunch of people who are like, hey, I believe in Jesus. And we go to church and we do the church thing, right? But at what point are you like saved? At what point are you not just attending a service that's basically some Christian concert with like gospel music, but you actually believe in Jesus and your life is being transformed and you're living like him and looking like him and there's fruit of Jesus coming out of you. So people look at you and go, that's Jesus in him. That's Jesus in her. At what point does that happen? Because Paul's saying, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, right? If you believe on Jesus as your Lord, that means you obey him as your Lord. That's what Lord means, like your king, the one you obey to, who commands you, and you say, yes, sir, and you obey. So he says this, he says, so walk in him. Don't just say, I believe in Christ, but I'm going to live like the world. I go to church, I'm a Christian, I follow Jesus. I love how Jesus makes me feel. I like to talk about love. I like to talk about peace. I like to feel good. I like people to encourage me and help me at church. I love the way the music makes me feel when we sing it, and it gives me this feeling and sensation. But here's what I really want to know from you tonight. Is it bigger than that for you? I'm not saying any of that's bad. I'm saying it's not about that. It's about Jesus' power in you. And that's where it begins. It's not just saying, man, I go to church, I sing worship, I read the Bible, I go to Sunday school. My parents are Christians. It's not, you know, the answer I hear a lot, I hear, man, I've been a Christian since I was born. But how'd that work? You're a baby, you understood the depth of your sin and the gospel? Like, at what point have you taken your heart and your life and laid it down at the feet of Jesus and said, I'm yours? I wasn't just born a Christian. I did just great cultural religious Christianity. We're in the South. Everybody's a Christian, right? No. Have you surrendered your heart to Christ so his power lives in you? That's the point where things change. That's when you can stand up and say, I am empowered by the living God of the universe. Because I've surrendered my heart and my life to him. And so Paul's saying, if you've done that, walk in him. Like, your life should look different. When he says go, that mission we talked about, you get up and go. Is it scary? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Is it possible that we might want to hesitate when he says that and be like, no, no, yeah, probably. But you know what? Jesus, Paul says, you don't have to. You could trust the power of Jesus in you and simply walk in him. I don't have to take this road alone. I don't have to answer that call alone or do that mission alone. It's Jesus in me. I'm walking in Jesus. So every step I take, Jesus, I'm going with you. It's like this. It's like I wake up and I go, take my hand this morning, Jesus. I need you to literally take my hand and walk me through my day because I'm scared of what's ahead. These are big things. These conversations, they're scary. The way you're asking me to love people radically today, love people, even my enemies and people who are mean to me and people who do these things, like, that's scary, Jesus. How am I supposed to do that? Take my hand and walk me through the day because I need you to show me how to do this and I need you to be at my side and give me the power to do it. Walk with him. And as you're walking and he's holding your hand and you're following him, he's going to stop along the way and do things you're going to get to see. You know why? Because you're holding his hand. Because you're walking that close and along the path. Jesus does stuff. That's who Jesus is. Everything in the New Testament that we read about Jesus, right? In the Gospels are all about Jesus stopping along the way wherever he's going. And he's always going. He's going here to there. And along the way, he's always stopping and he's doing these miracles. He's healing people. He's helping, loving people. He's people that are broken. He's constantly ministering and doing the will of the Father. So if you're holding his hand in your day, guess what you're going to be seeing? You're going to be seeing a lot more of that because he hasn't stopped. He just kind of changed how he does it. Instead of physically being here himself, he's doing that through you, he says. Because he calls us the hands and feet of Jesus, right? The church. And so he's using us to do those very same things. So if you're walking in Jesus, guess what you're going to see? You're going to see some miracles. You're going to see him show up. You're going to see him do powerful things. He's going to blow your mind over and over and over again throughout the day because you're just simply watching him at work. Put your hand. You're tagging along behind him and you're like, Jesus, this is unbelievable. You know why? Because you get to walk in him. And you don't have to just follow. You don't have to just be a spectator. That's the beauty of it. Jesus calls us to be a part of it with him. He's inviting us into his mission. That's what this whole thing is about. So Paul says, walk in him. And he says, rooted. That word's important, right? Like a tree sticks its roots down in the ground and gets its strength to stand from those roots. He's like, dig deep into your relationship with Jesus. Don't do this like superficial, like I came and sang some elevation worship and like, I'm good now. I'm going to go home. I feel awesome. Dig into God's word. Read the hard stuff that's difficult to read and understand and research it and look into it and ask the Holy Spirit, teach me as I read this and talk to me and tell me how to change my life. Jesus, if you need to break things in my heart, break them. Do what you want. That's rooting into Jesus. It's not being just content and satisfied with a superficial, yeah, I went to youth group and I didn't listen. I hung out with my friends and I played basketball and left and I'm a Christian. That's not the same. I'm not against you guys having fun. I want you to. We wouldn't have all this stuff here if we didn't want that. But if you leave here and you didn't get an opportunity to dig deep with Jesus, then I just failed as a shepherd of this body. Because God has called us to dig deep into who he is. We're not handling an easy passage tonight. And you know why we didn't just go to some easy one? Because this is what he has for us, and we're going to dig deep into it. Put down roots in Jesus through praying and reading the word and grabbing his hand and saying, wherever you tell me to go, I'm following. And as your roots go down, look what he says next in verse 6. He says, and built up in him. So the roots go down as you get that depth of a relationship. You spend time with them, right? And the relationship gets deeper, just like with your friends, right? That's what happens with Jesus. Let me spend time with you so I can grow deep in you. But then as you grow deep, look at what happens. You can then build up like a tree. And he starts to build you up and you start to be able to assist him in these things. Hey, like, help me do this miracle. Help me talk to this person. Help me interact with them. Help me hug that person. Be my hands and feet, church. Not on our own. We can't let go of that hand. We've got to keep holding Jesus' hand. We need him the whole time. We need his power. But he starts to invite us into what he's doing, and you're built up to be able to actually serve each other and love people. Man, God willing, change our community and our world out for the gospel of Jesus. That's being built up. And he says, and established in the faith. You know how all this happens? Your faith. Having the faith to reach out and grab his hand and say, okay, let's go. That right there represents faith, right? This right here, grabbing Jesus' hand and saying, okay, here we go. I trust you. That's faith to say, I'm scared. I couldn't do it on my own. But if you're calling me, let's go, Jesus. I'll go. That's how it begins. You're like, man, I'm not this like giant of the faith. I'm not like Billy Graham or these guys that like preach all this. I can't do that. Well, that's okay. You don't need to do that. You just need one step, and it's a small step, and it's this. It's, yes, Jesus, I believe. It's just like, Jesus, I'll take your hand and follow. It's this thing called faith that says, even though it might be scary, wherever you call me to go, let's go. It's as just as you were taught. Listen, Paul didn't say, hey, do this thing, but I'm not going to do it. Paul said, I've been doing it. We're teaching you this. We're telling you and showing you through our lives. Paul was going through all sorts of stuff. You can go through his writings and read what Paul went through. Like, he suffered. This dude went through some crazy things for the gospel. And all of those things was this, just him reaching out, grabbing Jesus' hand. Taught in the faith to say, wherever you lead, let's go. So Paul says, just like we taught you, abounding in thanksgiving. No matter what happens, no matter the tests and trials and difficult moments that are going to come because you took his hand and because you followed, guess what it ends up being? This thing called thanksgiving. And not like with the turkey and all that stuff, but thanksgiving like in your heart that says, this was worth it. Yeah, it was hard. Yeah, there were moments that were sad or even painful, but like, this was so worth it. When I get to the end of this race, I'm going to be able to look back and go, Jesus, thank you for everything you did. He promises that. Some of y'all doubt it still. You're like, I can't give this thing up, man. That's too much. No, it's not. You just think it is because your perspective, your focus has been skewed by the world. It's not too much. As a matter of fact, it's garbage, Paul says, compared to what God has in store for you. But because your focus is off, you think this is bigger than what's actually the good stuff. The stuff that at the end of the day, you'll go back and say, God, thank you for that. Thank you that when I grabbed your hand, you led me down the path, even in the moments where I pulled back against you and said, no, I'm not going, like a little kid going to kindergarten, you know, getting dragged to the classroom. Sometimes God needs to do that. But if you hold on with faith, he's good. And he'll bring you down the roads you need to go down kicking and screaming sometimes, but he'll get you there. And you can look back at the end of the day and go, thank you. I was scared to let that go. I was scared to sacrifice that. I was scared to give up this moment. I thought it was like the experience everyone needs to have in life. And I'd miss out somehow by not doing that. And God's like, nah, actually, that's garbage compared to what I have for you. Just let it go. And at the end of the day, you're going to say, thank you that you did. So Paul says in verse 8, listen to this. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. Like, we've talked about this a little bit. Paul has been kind of prepping us for this moment to say, listen, the world is trying to mess your view up. Wants to lie to you, deceive you, he says. It's empty deceit. Tell you things are so important and valuable when they're empty. They're garbage. They want to take you captive, like literally make you slaves by this philosophy that they have. They want to use these big arguments and all these things to try to convince you. You might know people who have already tried to do that in your life. Some of us in the room might be that person doing this. And you're like, oh, I know exactly what that is. These big reasonings, these philosophies, these things that we think are high views of the world and science and culture. We know so much. And he's like, Paul's like, they're going to use everything they can to deceive you and basically make you a slave to lies. So you'll have a skewed view. He says, according to human tradition. And we even want to use tradition as this way to be like, no, God, I ain't doing that. We want to convince each other by like, man, it's the best human experience. This is what I need. Listen, you know this better than anyone because this happens most in high school. You need the high school experience. You see it on TV. You see it in the movies. You hear it in music. Your friends talk, agree on it. You could, if I said, hey, what's the high school experience? You could list a couple key things that everyone would agree on in this room that are high school experience things we have to have. Or why'd you even go through high school? That's human tradition. And if one of those things had to be sacrificed for Jesus, we'd be like, don't you dare. I didn't even live life if I don't have that moment. I can't miss out on that thing. Whether it be a good thing, a bad thing, whatever. It's not Jesus. And Paul says, even that, even those things, the way religion uses human tradition to deceive us, like it's used in so many ways. He also says this, according to the elemental spirits of the world. Like there's literally spiritual forces coming after you. Do you realize this? I'm not here to freak you out or to like get us all like scared tonight about these spiritual like forces and demons and all these things. It's the last thing we need to be focused on or thinking about. We need to think and focus on Jesus. That's the point of this whole book. But the reality is still there because these spiritual forces, this war that's raging is over you. You're the treasure that's being fought over in that field. So valuable that Jesus would come and say, I will die to bring you back over the battle line. How hard do you think the enemy's fighting to take you down? If you don't think it's very hard, you've already been fooled. Because Satan and the forces of evil are all about destroying you and your faith and your life. Suicide is higher than it's ever been. You know who's behind that? Demonic forces that would say, they would lie to you, say it's not worth it. There's nothing to live for. that hurt in your heart. It's just too much. Just give up. It would make you feel hopeless and lost and isolated and depressed to the point where you want to give up. Like, it's an extreme, but it's a true extreme that's happening right now. Why? Because they're real and they exist and they're your enemy and they want to destroy you. Paul says, don't be deceived by their tricks. It started in the garden with the first man and woman, with Adam and Eve, and it hasn't stopped since. It's happening even more today. He says all of these things the world is trying to lie to you and enslave you with, and then he says this, and not according to the word of Christ. You realize how many things are in that list? He's like five or six things there that the world uses, and the solution is just one. Christ. He's so powerful, everything in the universe could line up against him, and it wouldn't even come close to be able to compete with Jesus. What we need is Christ, the power of Christ in us. Don't be deceived. Don't let your focus be skewed by sports and other things in your life, friends and relationships and whatever the things are, your hobbies and all of these other things. Trying to get all, you know, like in shape and be athletic and look good and all of the things, right, that consume us every single day, our vanity and pride and all of these things. And God's like, listen, there's one thing that really matters. Just one. Power of Christ in you. Jesus is everything. Do you really believe that? Tonight, as you sit in your chair tonight, right here in this room, as you hear my voice, do you believe Jesus is everything? Verse 9, Paul says, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Basically, Jesus is God. 100% God. Jesus is not just some man. He's not just a really good prophet. He's not just a little bit of God mixed in with some other stuff. Jesus is fully, totally, 100% God. And listen, I was eating lunch today and like six Mormons came in with their little tags and sat down and like, you know what they preach, right? They're out walking, preaching. They've stopped at my house. They've talked to me. They've the whole deal. And here they tell me, Jesus isn't God, but he's really good. The Bible, they say, doesn't say Jesus is actually God. Are you reading Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10? Because I am, and it says, for in him the whole fullness of deity, that means godhood, being God, dwells bodily. He is 100% completely God. Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, they're all over the place. They're all over our community. They're telling everybody. They're out sharing that false gospel. Be careful. A lot of people think they're just another denomination of church. Like, it's church Christians, Georgiana Methodists, right? And First Baptists, we're Baptists, and we all get along, and we're all Christians. Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and these other religions that say that Jesus isn't God, guess what? They're not the same, and they're not Christians. Because the Bible is clear, Jesus was 100% God and still is today and forever will be. That's why his power in you is so strong. That's why it matters so much. If he was just some good dude, who cares if he's in your heart? But the power of God himself living in you, now that can move mountains. That can transform a dead person back to life. And that's the only thing that can. Just the power of God, Jesus himself in you, to accomplish that crazy, big, scary mission he's calling you to. That plan he had for you this morning, that he had for your whole day today. The one he has for you tomorrow. It has to be through the power of Christ in you. Do you believe that? Verse 10 says, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. That Jesus is the fullness of God who has filled you. By you being in Jesus and saying, I'm taking your hand, what we do when we baptize people is demonstrating that. I've taken Jesus' hand. We put you in the water and you go fully submerse you completely in that water. The way you're saying, I will fully submerse my life, immerse my life in you, Jesus. You have all of me, the whole thing. I'm not going to keep this part dry or just kind of dunk my toes in. But Jesus, you get the whole thing. I want to be in you and live with you and follow you and all of those things. It's right here. Let me just have the faith to take your hand. And Paul says, that's where this fullness of deity is. It fills you because he is the fullness of God, who is the head of all rule and authority. This could be really important in a minute, right? Because like we think like Satan's over here and Jesus is over here and they do this battle almost as equals and they're fighting and Jesus is like, oh no, I might lose. That never happens. From before time ever began, before Satan ever existed, Jesus had already won the battle. There was never one moment in Jesus' mind where he was like, oh no, how's this going to end up? Jesus knew he is God. There isn't even a comparison between Jesus and Satan or any other spiritual force or anything else in all of existence. Jesus stands as the head and rule and authority of all, Paul says. And that's who wants to hold your hand. Nobody's going to pick a fight with you. No one's going to win because look who you're walking with. They might try and the world's going to try. There will be arrows coming at you from right and left spiritually. But he's got your hand. He's protecting you. He's walking you. Take his hand. Just trust him with that little bit of faith, that little mustard seed of faith and say, I'll go. I'm scared to death, but I'll go. I'll obey you, Jesus. He ends with this, these couple verses. Verse 11, look what he says. He says, in him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made who were hands by putting off the body of flesh. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Let's stop there for a second. What he's describing here is taking our flesh, our dead bodies, our sin, the old selves that don't know Christ. Walking zombies, walking dead people is what we are. We're born on our way to hell. And he's saying, through Jesus, what's happening is we're getting rid of that flesh and we're dying like Jesus died on that cross. We're dying with him. Our flesh, our sin, all this other stuff that's worldly and focused on temporary garbage that will never matter. Jesus takes it and he nails it on the cross, it says. All of our trespasses are forgiven because of Jesus. That flesh is gone. We're made brand new. Look what he says in verse 14. By canceling the record of debt that stood against you with its legal demands. It's like this debt that you're holding in your hand and people are coming up saying, you owe me, now pay up. And if you don't pay up, you're dead. That's literally what's happening, but death was eternal death and punishment in hell because of our sin. That's the debt that we have. And Satan and the forces of evil are these people that are just accusing us, right? These accusers are coming to us going, they deserve hell. They deserve to die. They deserve to be separated from you, Jesus. And he looks back at them and he grabs our debt and he goes to the cross. And look what it says. This he set aside, this debt, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame. He literally, these accusers that came against us before have nothing longer that they can say to you. When they remind you of your sin, as you sit in church and you're trying to worship and those demons or Satan comes along or maybe even your own flesh just whispers in what you say and says, remember what you did? Remember what you said? Remember a few weeks ago or a month ago? Maybe this morning? Remember your guilt and your sin? And they want to distract you from worshiping the one true God with shame and with guilt. Jesus says, I took it. I nailed it to a cross, and it wasn't just the cross that did a thing. It was because my hands were on that cross. It's because those nails pierced my hands and my feet, and I hung there, and I died for you. I paid your debt. And now these accusers that would come are in open shame. They have nothing left to say because they see now they're the ones who were wrong. They've been trying to lie to you this whole time, trick you and convince you of these lies that they're feeding you. And actually now they're in open shame because everyone sees it's a lie. And we can only see it through the lens of Jesus on that cross because that's where we find truth. That without him, we're nothing. We're broken and we're on our way to hell. But if you twist his hand and say, Jesus, tonight, will you forgive me? Jesus, tonight, can there be a change in who I am tonight? And now I belong to you. Can I walk with you? They're left in open shame. Because now you see the truth and you see the lies. And it's clear. You have this focus that is just absolutely crystal clear of who is the Lord and where the lies are. Paul says, as he finishes that last piece, look at that. He says, and put them to open shame by this, by triumphing over them in him. The way the victory is won is through Jesus' death and resurrection. He didn't stay dead. Jesus rose from the dead to give us life. If he had just stayed dead, he'd just be dead and we wouldn't even probably be here tonight. But the fact that he truly rose again and was seen by so many thousands of witnesses, and there's so much evidence of Jesus being alive today, fulfilling prophecy after prophecy, it's overwhelming. And the fact that today I can talk to him and he interacts with my life, I know him personally. I don't need a prophecy anymore to tell me that because I know him. That's where truth becomes evident. When you're willing to grab his hand and go, I want to know who you really are face to face for myself. And what that means when it says by triumphing over them in him, it's this picture of how Roman conquering like generals and emperors would take their, whoever they killed, right? Their opponent, they would kill them on the battlefield. They would then drag them behind their chariot as they went around the battlefield in this like kind of parade of this dead body of this other king or emperor. So everyone would see and everyone would fear this guy. Jesus sitting up there like, wow, he won. He's the real deal. And this is what Jesus wants to do and does with your sin. He takes it and says, sin didn't win. I'm not going to let sin win in your life. So those of you who are sitting here tonight and you're like, you're struggling with depression. You're discouraged. You're hurt. You're going through some things and maybe your family's broken or there's some stuff happening in your life. Jesus is looking at that and he's like, I'm not going to let it win. He's got a plan and I don't know how that will work out. But he does. That's why it's called faith. You take your hand and you grab his with faith and say, Jesus, I trust you with these things. He says he's going to take the sin and the brokenness and all the other stuff in your life, that sin that keeps kicking your butt and you keep struggling with it and it keeps winning and you try to push against it and in your own flesh, you keep getting beat. He says, give it to me. Take my hand and let me battle that sin in your life. Trust me, love me, walk with me, and let me do some battling against that sin. And here's what he'll do. He's going to take your sin, and he's going to drag it behind his chariot dead across the battlefield because that's who he is. No one stands against Jesus. Do you believe that? It's not just for him to walk around, have a parade. It's for you. Personally, you tonight. One-on-one, you and Jesus. He wants to do a thing in your heart. For some of you, it's like he wants to save you. He He wants tonight to be the night that you ask him to forgive your sin and save you. For others, it's having you take that next step, whether it's baptism, to have the courage to stand out and I'm grabbing your hand through the waters of baptism and follow you and obey you. Or maybe it's wherever you lead, whatever that scary thing is. Maybe it's giving up some things in your life tonight. Wherever you are, I know it's the same truth for all of us. Anywhere on our journey, it's the same thing. Take his hand. Trust in the power of Christ in you for that next step, whatever your next step is tonight. You bow your heads and close your eyes with me. As the band comes back up here to lead us in some more worship, would you just simply sit there and just ask Jesus, what's the next step? What will you have me do tonight?